Hi everyone, welcome to All Things Iceland. This is Jules, a native New Yorker that moved to Iceland in 2016. After falling in love with the country, I started the All Things Iceland podcast and social media channels in 2018 to share with travelers and others who are interested in Iceland about the country's fascinating history, culture, nature, language, and travel, sharing insights, travel recommendations, folklore, interviews, and so much more have helped thousands to become more familiar with Iceland and have epic adventure. Today's episode focuses on the historic site of Skriðukloster, which offers a captivating glimpse into Iceland's rich culture, history, and literature. This enchanting destination, which I've had the pleasure of visiting, is nestled amongst the rugged beauty of East Iceland's landscape. And what's really cool to me is that it kind of serves as a bridge between the past and the present and gives you the opportunity to explore the layers of stories that are etched within this museum and on the grounds. Skriðukloster is a landmark in the area that's not too far from the Hinkifoss waterfall for anyone who has potentially been to this place, but it's situated in a way that you could actually easily drive by it on the road. So just keep that in mind as you navigate to this place, because while it's easily missed, I highly recommend making a stop if you're planning to be in the East Iceland area. So the origins of Skriðukloster traces back to a 16th century monastery, and it was actually only after extensive archaeological excavation, which happened for 10 years, that the ruins of this Augustinian cloister were revealed. And it then, after doing a lot of work and understanding of what was going on there, showcased the resilience, spirituality, and compassion that was happening at this monastery. So based on the archaeological dig, it seems that the monastery was established around 1493, and it served as a refuge for people who were sick and poor. However, its existence was cut short by the Reformation in the mid-16th century, which also marks a significant chapter in Iceland's religious and social history. Regarding the monastery, it's also quite interesting to me and blows my mind that one of Iceland's most renowned literary figures, Gunnarsson, is very much tied into the land, but unknowingly to him, there was this monastery on the land in which he built a house. So just to kind of give you a backstory, Gunnar Gunnarsson was born in 1889, and he emerged as a prolific writer whose works resonated with readers across the globe. And in his decision to write in Danish, which obviously brought his stories to a wider audience, and earned him a ton of acclaim, lots of money. At the same time, doing that kind of called into question his cultural identity. So he lived in Denmark for quite a long time. And at that moment in history, when it was either between him or Halldór Laxness to win the Nobel Prize for Literature, it ended up going to Halldór Laxness, which I did an episode about that and I'll have linked in the show notes or like description of this podcast episode on allthingsiceland.com if you want to check that out, because Halldór Laxness is fascinating. But when Icelanders basically had to choose between the two, because Halldór Laxness had continuously been living in Iceland and writing in Icelandic, and even though Gunnar Gunnarsson was, you know, like I mentioned, a prolific writer and quite well known, him having written in Danish or, you know, living outside of Iceland for, I think, like 3 decades, really called into question whether he was Icelandic enough, or was he Danish, or was he both, you know? So it's like a complex history, and the personal story around him too is really fascinating, so I highly recommend that. Also, there was a controversy surrounding his public appearances in Nazi Germany, and that, of course, was not helpful for him either. In 1939, Gunnarsson returned to Iceland, so from living in Denmark, and decided on this land in East Iceland. And he built a mansion, which is absolutely beautiful, nothing like you're going to see anywhere else in the country. It does have a turf roof, so of course that is something you will see in other places, but the stonework and even the color of the building is so beautiful. It's really stark to see it on the landscape of like in the summertime, especially when it's very vibrantly green, the roof being vibrantly green, but then the house contrasts with the stones and the white material that was used in order to keep the stones in place. And his home on Skridi Kloster was designed by a German architect who was also a Nazi. So, you know, the idea, just to give you a little background there, is that Gunnarsson was not ever considered to be a Nazi himself and didn't have any political views. But because he did do some touring in Nazi Germany, obviously, like I mentioned, this made it more complicated in regards to him turning a blind eye for the sake of selling books, which obviously is not okay. So anyway, I just wanted to help give that information because when you go to this museum, you'll learn that. And it's kind of good to be a little bit prepared because I was shocked when I was hearing about this and understanding that as well and how complex individuals can be. Regarding the monastery and him is that he chose this place that was going to be a farm and ended up, you know, having this built. The farm thing really didn't work out because in the time in history in Iceland, people were kind of moving away from having farms, like these huge farms like that. So he ended up donating the land to like just the government. And later on, like I mentioned, 2002 is when they ended up finding that there was this monastery on the site of this place where he had built this mansion. So in essence, Skridi Kloster is a living museum and it continues to inspire and educate. The monastery ruins, which you can see outside probably year round if there's not a whole lot of snow on there, offers a connection to this heritage that was started there, but then abandoned and then started back up in a different way by a different person for various reasons that didn't have to do with the monastery, but still gave a location where now not only can you see this really cool house, but also these ruins that are amazing. And in addition to that, when the archaeological dig was finished, there was a whole lot of work done in order to preserve the artifacts. And so on the land, there was a hospital. Of course, there was, you know, people who lived in certain parts of the monastery. There were areas where people were buried, a cemetery. And what's caught my eye the most when I was touring around the house, and you can get a free tour when you go to Skridi Kloster, just ask the person at the front desk to show you around. And she gave me a really fun, informative tour in which they talk about how there were 300 individuals buried on the site. And there were different diseases that these people had, or like health issues, or, you know, just lifestyle issues because of being in Iceland during the 16th century. And so these remains gave scientists the ability to see like the bones and how they might have deformed based off of not having enough nutrition or having some type of birth defect. And maybe they were not accepted in their community, so they found refuge at the cloister, and the monks were giving them the best care that they could, given the knowledge that they had. But of course, many people ended up perishing just because the science wasn't evolved enough to give them the care needed. And so these graves not only were ones in which we could, in which people were just buried, but again, it was kind of like an exploration, understanding regarding insight of people's ailments in the past. Among some of the artifacts, like these 13,000 artifacts that were discovered, was a fragmented statue of St. Barbara, which symbolizes spiritual life that once flourished within the monastery walls. So Skridi Kloster, like I mentioned, the outside, people could probably access throughout the year. But if you want to go into the actual building, normally during the winter, it's not open. But starting in March, so this year it says March 29th, they're going to have their first like opening of the doors, and there's going to be an exhibition called Polyphony or Polyphony. I'm not sure if that's what that's supposed to be pronounced, by Björk Eriksdottir, alongside a new exhibition by Gunnar Gunnarsson's son. So yeah, Gunnar Gunnarsson's son, which promises to kind of highlight and showcase the ongoing dialogue be of his father and the present. And of course, during the summertime, it's open, and during fall, so So if you're going to be around East Iceland, which it is fun to explore this area, and I'll have episodes in the near future about East Iceland, just to kind of give a lot more insight into things you can do there, because a lot of people end up just driving through, not realizing that there's so much happening here that is really fun. Granted, it also has its challenging bits too, but so does every part of Iceland, I guess. If you're curious to create your own itinerary and you would like to see all the spots that I've been to in East Iceland, or at least the ones I recommend, and around the country, you can always grab my Iceland map, which I've curated with, like I mentioned, hidden gems, of course, more well-known places too, places to eat, and all sorts of interesting, fascinating places. And I'll have a link to that in the description of this podcast episode. But for those who maybe are not sure where to find it, on allthingsiceland.com, it's also at a website called Rexby, rexby.com/jewels, JEWELLS, /Iceland. And with full access to that map, so you can get regular access, which just gives you the map, or full access will give you access to over 260 places that I recommend in Iceland, along with 4 pre-made itineraries for planning your trip. One is a 10-day ring road trip. One is a 3-day South Iceland trip. Another is a famous Golden Circle. And last is the Reykjanes Peninsula day trip. A one-time purchase of my Iceland map, whether it's the all-inclusive one, all access with the 4 itineraries, or just the map itself, is lifetime access. So you'll get any updates I make to the map, which I'm often doing. For the random fact of the episode, Skúli the Cloistered has a lot of unique history, as I mentioned. And one of my favorite things that I did while there was the virtual reality tour of the monastery that was found. So in one of the rooms of the house, you can put on a virtual reality headset and tour around the recreated monastery as if you were there in like the 16th century. And I just found that so much fun. I also know about, I didn't get to go to the buffet, the lunch buffet. I was too late that day. So when I go back, I'm highly excited about this lunch buffet because everybody raves about it. So downstairs in the cafe, like I mentioned, they have this buffet that people are often saying how great it is. The Icelandic word of the episode, it is Skriði Cloister, which when you break down the word, Skriða means landslide and Cloister means monastery. So Skriða has to do with, at least when I spoke to the people who are at the actual museum, is that on the hill there, there's like a lot of loose gravel, and so there ends up being landslides that can happen in this area. So they essentially named the area based off of this activity that might have been happening around the time that the cloister was being built. As always, thank you so much for listening. Þakka þér kærlega fyrir að hlusta, og sjáumst fljótlega.